In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. In the first gospel reading today, we have a strange, and you could even say in some ways a scary story. Christ has traveled across the Sea of Galilee to the eastern shore, where the Jews were only a minority. It was mostly pagan people who lived in that area. And this incident happened at a location that's today called Kersey. But in ancient times, it was known, the town that was nearby was called Gergesa, which is why St. Matthew refers to this as the country of the Gergesenes. But St. Mark and St. Luke talk about it as the country of the Gadarenes, because Gadara was a bigger city that was better known, and it was in that general vicinity, and so that was something to give people some idea who weren't familiar with the area of what he was talking about in terms of location. Also, St. Matthew tells us about two demoniacs. St. Mark and St. Luke only speak of one, and what the fathers tell us is that there was one that was the more prominent, the one that was better known of the two, and so that's why they speak only of the one, focusing on him. St. Matthew describes the two demoniacs as coming out of the tombs, exceeding fierce, so that no man might pass by that way. And St. Mark and St. Luke give more details. St. Mark says, speaking of the one prominent demoniac, that he had his dwellings in the tombs, and that no man could bind him, no, not with chains, because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces. Neither could any man tame him. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains, in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. This is a pretty horrific scene, and you can imagine that the people would have been terrified of these two men and would have been constantly reminded of their presence by the fact that you had this guy running around, cutting himself and howling and crying constantly. And if anyone passed by where the tombs were, they came out and confronted them. And so, no doubt, they were terrified of these people and would have been very happy to have been rid of the situation. But when the demoniac saw Christ, St. Mark says, again speaking of the one prominent one, he says that he ran up and he worshipped him, which means that he bowed before him, and he cried with a loud voice, and he said, "What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not." For he said unto him, "Come out of the man, thou unclean spirit." So Christ had already commanded the demons to leave this man. And so he's asking, with the demons speaking through him, that Christ would not torment him before the time. In other words, before the final day of judgment. The demons immediately recognized who Christ was, and they were terrified of him. But this man, with what little freedom he still had, nevertheless ran to Christ, not away from him. And then we're told that Christ asked him, "What is thy name?" And he answered, saying, the demon speaking through him, "My name is Legion, for we are many." And he besought him much that he would not send them away out of the country. Now there were there nigh unto the mountains a great herd of swine feeding. And all the devils besought him, saying, "Send us into the swine, that we may enter into them." And forthwith Jesus gave them leave, and the unclean spirits went out and entered into the swine, and the herd ran violently down a steep place into the sea. There were about 2,000, and were choked in the sea. You might ask, why did Christ allow the demons to enter into the swine? Well, the fathers tell us that one reason why he did that was because he wanted to show, ultimately, what the demons would have done to these two men. And this also shows us that those that live like swine open themselves up to the demons. One father commented on this, and he said, I think it was St. Ambrose, he said, "A mugger does not go looking for a man who's strong and able to resist. He goes and looks for those who are weak and easy targets." And if we live a life of sin, we open ourselves up to the power of the demons. And so those are the kind of people that the demons prey upon. We as Christians, if we're striving to live a Christian life, don't have any reason to fear the demons, because greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world, we're told by St. John. The demons are terrified of Christ, and if we have Christ living in us, we have nothing to fear at all from the demons. But if we open ourselves up to the demons, then we give them a foothold in our lives, and they can cause us all kinds of trouble, in extreme cases as bad as these two men. Then St. Mark tells us that they that fed the swine fled and told it in the city and in the country. And they went out to see what it was that was done. And they came to Jesus to see him that was possessed of the devil and had the legion sitting in clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. You would think at this point that they would be thanking Christ for having delivered them from this terror that they had been tormented with constantly by these men, but they were afraid of seeing Christ's power, but also seeing the effects that the entire herd of swine had been lost because of what Christ had done. And it says, and they that saw it told them how it befell to him that was possessed of the devil, and also concerning the swine, and they began to pray him to depart out of their coast. In other words, they began to plead with Jesus that he would leave. Christ had delivered these people, but there was no gratitude whatsoever. They were more concerned about how Christ's change in this man had messed up their economy. He had caused them loss, and they didn't want to have any further damage that would be caused by Christ, even if it resulted in spiritual good for those that were there. And then we hear the scariest part of the story. In St. Matthew's Gospel, it ends with these words, "And he entered into a ship and passed over and came into his own city." Christ left. He did exactly what they asked him to do. They said, "We don't want you around here, please go," and he left. In Romans chapter 1, we're told that the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men. But rather than recounting all the thunderbolts from heaven that you might expect after a statement like that, St. Paul repeatedly in that chapter speaks of how God's wrath is expressed by God giving people up to their own devices. If you reject God, the wrath of God is revealed by God allowing you to have your way, to do exactly what you want, and to reap the consequences. We today see our nation falling apart at the seams more and more. If you're young, maybe it's not changed enough in your lifetime for you to be shocked by what you see. But for those of us that are a little bit older and can remember a saner time, when people still knew what a man was and what a woman was, and we didn't have to have a big debate about who could use which restroom. It's shocking to see how much things have changed. And also, we see an increasing lack of civility, an increasing amount of hatred from people, violence. Recently, we had someone who, because of political disagreements, took a gun and went out and shot several congressmen, because to him that was a way to deal with a disagreement about political policy. We as a culture have been running on the fumes of the morality that once we all agreed upon. And people who grew up during that time, even if we've rejected it to a large extent in our personal life, we still have certain things that have kept us from going beyond certain points. But the problem is, those fumes are quickly being dispersed. And we are having a generation raise up that don't remember that morality that we all agreed upon, and our culture is increasingly becoming perverse. And we see the negative results of every day. We see the self-destruction of people in our society everywhere. And some may ask, well, where is God? Why is God allowing this to happen? Well, God is allowing this to happen because we as a nation have largely asked God to leave us alone and let us do what we want. And God is punishing us simply by allowing us to have what we want and to reap the consequences. We need to run to Christ and fall on our knees and ask him to free us from all demonic chains that have bound us. We need to allow him to have the run of our life because we can't do it ourselves. He is the source of our life. There was an old Bob Dylan song from the 70s, "You've got to serve somebody. It may be the devil or it may be the Lord, but you're going to have to serve somebody." And that's the truth. In serving God, we serve the one that created us and made us to serve him and who loves us. And that's where we find the truest freedom that we possibly can have. But if we reject that, then we're going to serve the demons, whether we realize that that's what we're doing or not. We may think that we're serving ourselves. We may think that we're doing what we want to do. But the demons are increasingly going to take charge of our life and are going to destroy us. What we as Christians need to make sure that we're doing is that we're not following the herd down the steep place and into the sea to drown with everybody else. It may be that if you take a poll on many of these moral issues, that the vast majority of people have shifted so much that they don't agree with what the church teaches anymore. But you know what? It doesn't matter, because the truth doesn't change based on opinion polls. If you had taken an opinion poll in Sodom and Gomorrah before God destroyed them, I'm pretty sure that the vast majority of the residents would have been in favor of all kinds of things that God wasn't in favor of. But God destroyed those cities because of those sins. If we will accept Christ as the Lord Master of our life, He will put our lives back in order, and we will have a peace that passes all understanding. Amen.